God's on the move. So you better get out of his way. Quit playing religion. Amen? It's not religious time. It's glory time. Everyone say it's glory time. As we are approaching more and more to see the third seal be broke, because the first two seals have been broke already, we are going to see the area of the financial. In fact, if I don't know if you've seen it or not, but gold went up, silver went up, and the U.S. currency is going down. More and more and more. But it's a transition that we're in, and it's a process of crossing over. God is doing a tremendous awakening globally. I mean, it is happening. And we want to be in this area and be positioned, especially during this period of time. We don't want to fall out of position. You know, a while ago, the Lord showed me that many of our children who had come through here would be returning. Somehow, some way, I don't know what the whole circumstance at some time. Because God is gathering. Everyone say gathering. He's gathering his priests, those who are true worshipers. Though sometimes people don't even know that they've been called to be a priest. But the Father seeks those who worship him in truth and in spirit. I mean, you want God to chase you, don't you? And I mean, there isn't anything greater than to know that you please him in worship. That's the greatest way you can show him. And so much of the church has gone astray. They've gone into worship of self. They've gone into worship of money. They've gone into worship of material. They've gone, don't even realize that they've been taken captive into it. And are not putting God's presence first. And you know, when you put him before you in all things, you can't lose. Didn't say you won't make a mistake, but you can't lose. Amen? You just won't lose. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7, but we have this what? Treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Hello? We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be what? Manifested in our body. The life of Jesus being manifested is called glory. It's called what? Glorious, the glory of the Lord. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having sped through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory, to the what? Glory of God. To the glory of God. Wow, this is so powerful to me. Because we are going through this process where there's the weight of glory. It's called eternal weight of glory. And the weight of glory is there's something important about the weight of glory, because it's a heaviness, but it's not a heavy burden. It's not a burden whatsoever. It's a heaviness. It's a knowing. It's a reality of the Creator's presence and character that is deeply internalized within you. And it's so deeply internalized with us that, while so profound and transformative, that it can change the way we live by the way we think. Everyone say, by the way we think. See, the way you live will be the way you think. Now remember, your mind is nothing but a storage unit of memory. That's why it must be refreshed, renewed. In fact, some of the old stuff must get emptied or covered, what we call. Amen? So in this eternal weight of glory that we are in right now, things are happening tremendously. Remember, Jesus said that he would come through the body of Christ first before he comes. We're seeing things happen all over the world. I mean, strange things. Heck, we just had a murder on our street here the other day. And it was an innocent thing. A young 11-year-old kid who's not all there. Somehow a gun came into the house from somebody. I mean, you know, stupid mistakes. And he loaded the shotgun. And his mother went to go take it away, and he shot her. He ran next door, yelling, knocking on to his aunt's house, saying, "I shot my mom! I shot my mommy." And the mother came out, fell on the front lawn, and died. Devastating things that are happening. I went to the gym this morning, and on my way to gym, it was about 10 to 5. I parked in front, and I just noticed the car, and it was backed up, and its trunk was open like about two or three inches. It just wasn't fully closed, and I thought, well, you know, your first thought is there a body in there? You know? And so I went and worked out for a little bit, and I came out, and I said, I got to go check this out, man. I opened it up, and there was a body in there. But the guy was sleeping. He freaked me out, and I freaked him out. I said, what are you doing? He says, well, I said, you all right? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. He had tennis balls in there like it was a tennis player or something. But he had his seat all the way down, and his head was in the trunk area, and he was just sleeping in there. And I didn't want to go any further. And I said, well, okay, you're all right. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm great. No problem. I said, okay. You can't be that great. You're sleeping in your stinking trunk. So anyways, I just let it go. But I'm just sharing with you, there's so many strange things that's going on. And you got to remember now that the spirit of death has been released. That was the last thing that happened when the Israelites were taken captive before they what? Before they went through the Red Sea. So the spirit of death has been released. We've already entered the Red Sea. We're going through it now. And so we know when the third seal is broken, the wealth of the wicked will be released to the righteous. I don't know how it's going to come. They're telling everybody, you know, get tangible things that are, you know, put your money into tangible things. Gold, silver, lands, properties, so forth. Because things are going to change tremendously and rapidly. Has anybody ever gotten to a place where you're like, man, I wish I would have done that? Well, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to go, I wish I would have done that. And it's going to be too late because it's going to be a gradual than sudden. We're going to enter in multiple suddenlies. And they will come faster and faster and faster. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. In verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, the completion of who we are. Don't let your mirror tell you who you are. Amen. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. See, the sufferings of this present reality It's created time. It's the present reality that we're in right now. Our struggles and hardships we face, they're not just random or meaningless. Hello? But it is preparing us for the future glory, so a great and wonderful thing that will come and that will be released, and it will outweigh everything that you're going through, that you've gone through. Amen? Any sufferings that we've endured, all sufferings, no matter what you've gone through, you won't remember it anyways. Our memories will be wiped clean of all of those sufferings. What awaits us is glorious. I had this deep discussion with the Lord this morning because I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, the eternal weight of glory. And he began to bring me through all of this stuff. And one of the things was, I said, gosh, Lord, I mean, look at all the stuff that's going on. Look at how many people are suffering. Look at how many people lost loved ones during the epidemic caused by humanity because of the powers of darkness that be. How many people took the cure and got killed and were lied to? Think about all of those things. And it's still going on, war. I mean, we're in a time of war, rumors of war. People killing one another. Look what's going on in Israel and over through the whole world, of war. But it's all working for our glory, believe it or not. Sometimes these are not just, you know, let me flip a coin and find out what's going to happen today. These are not random things. These are predestined things. Now again, what a man sows, he what? Reaps. That's a law. But if you sow in the Spirit, you can outrun some of the reaping to us. Amen? Again, we are in this time of an eternal weight of glory that is going to be manifested in us and through us. We are more than who we think we are. See, as a man thinks, so he is, isn't it? And that's a big problem, because we are hard-pressed on every side with what? With all kinds of words from everywhere. You got false prophets, false teachers. You've got false media, which are prophets of Baal. All of these things that are affecting us all the time. You got, I mean, you go out, if you look up something on Google and find out about, you know, you may be having some pain somewhere, let me tell you, it can tell you you got everything. These are just things that are discouraging the people. And God is trying to remove discouragement from us and bring joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Because we're getting ready for great things to happen. But God is preparing us for those things. You know, when we go eternally, it's a whole other reality there. So we don't want to get caught up in this reality because it's a false reality. Everything is false here. Everything is like a play. It's like a chess game. It's a preparation for what? For me and you. The whole universe and all the stars and all the planets and everything for God's timing and the way things have to coordinate together, which we don't have to figure it out, was created for me and you. Why? Because when this place burns up, scrolls up, and goes away, God is going to set a whole new creation where you and I will be with him. And we'll be part of his rule. We will be part of his kingdom to rule and train up other people. We don't know where we're going. We might be going to all the universes. He may be creating all kinds of stuff. Man, don't limit Daddy. Don't limit him. See, but people are so caught up in the present time that they can't see the future. They've lost faith in many things. Just because hardships and oppressions and things that have to greet. Listen, anybody ever been disappointed, you know it. But disappointments can create divine appointments. And we've got to really get our eyes off of ourselves and begin to get them on him who's preparing us for a great thing to happen. Amen? In Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. What character? The character of Christ. You know, the psalmist said, no matter what I'm going through, I know that when I awake, I'll be in your image, in your likeness. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Powerful. Glory in sufferings, knowing produce his personal presence and character. For what? Future purposes. Future what? Purposes. His purpose, not ours. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ, in other words, in the anointing. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. He's the anointing. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty or freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being, through our what? Trials, tribulations, struggles, challenges, everything. Is to bring more of him and less of us. That's what it's about. More of him and less of us. Transformed into his image and likeness for future purposes. Hebrews 10:32. But recall the former days in which, after you illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly what? While you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. Partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves, where? In heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the what? Promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are going to need what? Endurance. Endurance. Endurance takes discipline. And, you know, that's where God gives us a routine. That routine is to keep us in a place of discipline so that we can endure. The glory that comes from those things is his character and his presence. Amen? You know, we don't, so many times we don't take it for, and we take it for granted, let's say. We take it for granted. We're not serious about it enough. And until it comes to our front door, oh, then we begin to get serious. Well, let me tell you, it's at your front door. It's time to get serious. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last days? Yeah. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, the genuineness of who you are, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. So listen, your faith, which is your connection with him, forever attached in the heavenlies, faith. It's your connection with him. Without faith, there's no connection. Amen? Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Wow. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired, searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Many times they prophesied and didn't even know what they were prophesying, because it was for me and you to get it. Amen? There's a genuineness of faith. There's a lot of generic and those who are genuine. The generic will be exposed. Amen? Genuine of the faith, a future connected to his glory. There is so much more getting ready to happen. I encourage you, do not get distracted. Don't be misled. Don't become religious. Stay connected with him. Maintain your routine. Get disciplined. Amen? Get disciplined. Stop allowing emotions to dictate your choices. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings. How many of y'all rejoice in your sufferings? We're supposed to love suffering. Why? Because it brings us to the end of us and more of him. But you don't understand my circumstance, and I don't need to. He knows it all. Hello? You know how many self-imposed sufferings we've created in our own life by the choices we made? We brought them on ourselves. Anybody ever buy a bad car? Don't raise your hand. Those were called lemons. Did you ever marry someone you weren't supposed to? Hello? Does anyone invest in something you weren't supposed to? Think about those things. How many mistakes we've made. And then regrets. You know, don't go back to your mistakes. Amen? Don't chase your mistakes. Why? Because your mistakes are chasing you. Oh, happy days. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 24 again. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which you have given to me, for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the future of his glory in you. Oh, him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Christ in us, the hope of glory, his manifested presence and character. That's what it's all about. You know, again, we are in a false reality in a temporary place. You and I, when a person perishes in this reality without Christ, they don't go home. Does everybody get that? That's why God makes a way of escape from this false reality into a true reality. The real reality. Philippians 3, in verse 7. But what things were what? Gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found where? In him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his what? Sufferings. Being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have comprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, have this way of thinking. And if in anything that you think otherwise, God perhaps will reveal it to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same way of thinking. Don't chase your mistakes. Your mistakes will chase you. Don't worry about that. You can't change yourself. You can't change you. You can look in the mirror, change the color of your hair. You can change everything. But you can't change you, who you are. Does everybody understand? You can't change yourself, but you can deny yourself and follow him. Because as you follow him, you will change. When he went to the disciples, he didn't say, listen, guys, you need to change before you follow me. He went up to them and said, follow me. They were a mess. Think about it. They were a mess. But as they continued to follow Jesus, they changed. See, so many people get disappointed. I ain't changed yet. Well, just because you care about change, it means you're changing. Hello? I'm not where I'm. You might not be where you're supposed to be, but you're going to be there. As you keep following, you change. It's when you stop following, you stop changing. Hello? Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Change chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. Oh, this is it. This is the kicker. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, in other words, called sufferings. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, But let patience have its perfect work. That's endurance. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Want means lack. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, for who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. So he's saying, listen, you're lacking wisdom in this. What's wisdom do? It tells you what to do. It's not wisdom from the world. It's wisdom from above. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Sometimes, I you know what I see in this? A person that can't, is not, you know, he's so double-minded, he can't stay still. And God is trying to give them something, but he keeps moving. He can't get it to him. And that's how the enemy comes and steals. God is trying to bring us to a place where we're reaching a level of perfect and complete of his character, where we lack nothing. Nothing. Everything will be brought to you. You don't have to chase nothing. When people have to chase, it's because they lack. Why do they lack? They lack God's presence, the mind of Christ. Hello? What are they lacking? Wisdom. They're lacking. Why? So they chase. You know, everything is nothing but a false fulfillment out there. The only way fulfillment is God's presence. Without God's presence, you cannot be fulfilled. You'll be trying to get fulfilled in everything. You'll spend all kinds of money and pleasures and this and that and whatever. And don't get me wrong. I mean, God wants us to have fun. Amen? But it's not our fulfillment. Everything I get to, there's a level of fulfillment for me. This is me. When there's a level of fulfillment, I have to stop. I say, no, Lord, you're my fulfillment. Thank you for this. It was awesome. It was a blessing, but you're my fulfillment no matter what. Never let it get beyond or it becomes everything to you. That's offensive to him. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ. In other words, we are servants to the anointing. And stewards of the what? Mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required that in stewards that one be found what? Faithful, consistent, disciplined. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord, because he's got a relationship. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to the light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts, that each one's praise will come from who? It will come from God. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what it is what? Written. That none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also would reign with you. Now listen, we are in a time right now where God is gathering not only his priests, but his kings. The kings are warriors in the kingdom. Amen? We are priests and kings, but you can't be a king without being a priest first. So you will lose your kingly anointing without maintaining your priestly anointing. That's why you must be a worshiper. Not a worshiper of TV. Not a worshiper of music. But a worshiper of him. Amen? First, yeah, hallelujah. So we want to be good stewards. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 2. eternal weight of glory. All things are working to the good. To those who love him. Ephesians 2:14, speak it. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the hatred, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity or hatred. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Why? For his glory. It's all about his glory. We're going to see more and more of God's glory being released. But you know, when God's glory comes, death comes. There's a death to self, but then some people are going to die because they're out of position. You know, there's so much going behind closed doors that people have no idea. No idea. But we're in a time of reset, renew, and refresh. For the body of Christ is going to rise tremendously. And the glory of God will be released. And the early and latter rain will be released. So be prepared. Stay positioned. Amen. And know that whatever you're going through, it don't matter. It just doesn't matter. Amen. The only thing that matters is staying positioned with him. And he'll bring you through all the way. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your mercies and grace and faithfulness and your word that's been released today. Lord, it be a seed imparted in us so that it grows and bear fruits for your glory. And you are preparing us so that we are perfected, lacking nothing. Preparing us for the things to come, knowing that there will be trials and tribulations. There will be sufferings. But out of them all, you always make a way of escape. Always. And in that, there's an exchange made because we follow you. And by following you, we change. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.